everybody. This is Dr. Amy Myers with the Myers Way Podcast. Today, I have something really special for you. I'm going to answer your questions that you posted on Facebook. Couple of updates before we get started. John Rosania, who has been helping me out and he works with Clean, got a promotion, so he's not going to be with me. I want your feedback. Do you like the podcast where I have someone interviewing me? Do you prefer the podcast where I interview someone? Or do you like this kind of format where I'm answering your questions? My guess is you probably all like some combo of them, but if you could please post either at the end of this blog or on Facebook when I'm release this podcast, which one you like and why you like it, that would be really helpful for me. The next update that I have for you is I am leaving for India in a few short hours here, and I love you guys so much. I wanted to make sure you had a podcast while I was away. Things are getting really busy on my end. I am in the midst of writing a book proposal and then a book. So launching a new website, rebranding, and also launching some new e-courses that will focus on the gut and how to heal your gut, because that's really one of the main questions that I get. And as you all know, from what I believe, the gut is central to healing. So I'm actually going to have a several week course that's going to walk you guys through that, as well as one on gluten. And what is my other module? Gluten, gut, and just the Myers Way. Between the diet and the gut, I really am able to help a lot of people. And I understand that all of you all cannot get on a plane to come see me. You may not have a functional medicine doctor in your area. So I'm hoping that these courses are going to be really great resources for you guys. We're hoping the new website and everything should be up by the end of the year, and the courses will be launched either by the end of the year or right, you know, at January for the new year, everybody getting ready to get healthy. So yeah, I love your feedback. I love you guys. I really appreciate all of your support, and wish me luck and keep me safe in your prayers as I'm off in India. Those of you who know, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. I'm going over to India to visit an orphanage. I raised some money to build a kitchen and name it after my mom. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of emotional, but here we go. All right, so let's get to your questions, guys, and you rock, and here we go. I'm just going to go down the line and answer what I can. Let's see. The first one that I got here is, where am I posting these answers? I am posting these answers here on my podcast, The Myers Way. From Gina, will I treat you via Skype from the UK? Guys, we have lots of options. Again, you know, I'm fairly accessible on Facebook. I cannot answer medical questions, personal medical questions on Facebook, but we have lots of different resources. You can come see me if you want to be a patient. If you want to just have a consult, yes, we can do that over Skype or by the phone. So just, you know, give my office a call. Let's see. Ellie Haight wants to know, is it okay to have wheat and barley grass in your diet if you're gluten sensitive or celiac? You know, that is really a big debate. Many people say that it does not have any gluten in it. In my clinic, I personally avoid it, and we definitely don't let people, if they're coming in on those sort of greens, the green mixes and juices, things like that, to get them off if they contain those things so that there's no question about it. As with anything, you can add them back in, see how you personally react. Really good resources I find is just getting on some of the celiac blogs. You'll often see half the people have a reaction and half the people don't. So you really just have to see where you fit in. But my philosophy is to err on the side of caution, at least when you're coming to see me or trying to go through the Myers Way program or something like that, is to get those out so there's no question whether it's causing you an issue or not. And I do personally avoid them. Okay, would you recommend the, this is coming from Gabriella Montes. Would you recommend the iodine radiation procedure for a person with hyperthyroidism? Well, I myself had that and didn't know about functional medicine. And I tried, if you listen to the Myers Way podcast one, I talk about my story. And I tried sort of alternative things that I knew about at the time and couldn't get relief from my hyperthyroidism. I would see a functional medicine doctor as soon as possible. If they cannot get things under control for you or your symptoms get too bad before they can, if you had to do something extreme like an iodine radiation pill, or the other option is having your thyroid either part or fully removed, I would go for, again, this is personal decisions, but looking back on my life, I would prefer to have part of my thyroid than to not have any of my thyroid. So if I have a regret in my life, it is definitely having my thyroid irradiated. So I have had other people come to me. We've been able to reverse their hyperthyroidism or Graves, which is awesome. And a couple that just came to me too far into the process, and they were really, really had really horrific side effects from their hyperthyroidism. And so I advised them to get it surgically partially removed. No judgments for people out there that are saying you can fix this. I mean, you just, yes, a lot of times we can, but sometimes the symptoms, I mean, it unlike hypothyroidism, you know, your body is on hyper overdrive, and you know, people can actually have cardiac events on this. So it is not something to mess with. And I totally have been in that boat, and get the people who need, you know, that just find this approach too far along the line and they've got to do something. Okay, from Brenda Holler. How do I rid my body of candida? Brenda, we have so much information on this, and it's going to be in my e-course as well, a bonus about candida specifically. But I do have an article on that. You want to go on a low yeast diet, getting out foods that contain yeast, low carbohydrate diet, and no sugar diet. You want to starve the yeast, and then you want to try to treat the yeast with something. If we're doing over-the-counter, I typically use caprylic acid. That comes from coconut oil, and it should poke holes in the yeast cell wall, and the yeast should die. If you're seeing a physician, I do treat my patients with antifungals, either Diflucan or Niastatin. So it's helpful when it's really out of control to get in with a physician and be able to get some real prescription medication. Okay, from Cheryl Borchardt. What probiotic do you recommend for kids? If they're under two, they require a special probiotic that has different bacteria than the sort of the average probiotic you can see, you know, that we take. Their bacteria hasn't fully formed. And but if they're over two, just the same one that you're taking is fine. Obviously, we recommend the one that we have on my store. It's full of multiple strains. It is, you know, full of lactobacillus and bifidobacter, and has some streptomyces in it. And usually much higher quality and quantity than what you can get over the counter. And it's not made on dairy or soy, which is what a lot of them are made on over the counter. Okay, let's see. Charles Munoz, how do you convince the rest of the medical establishment of your way of practicing and the only that addressing health and not disease? I don't really try to convince the rest. I mean, my patients kind of do, in the sense that, you know, their physician is kind of at a loss. They come see me, they get well, and then they go back. And a lot of times the physicians are really curious and not finding it my mission to try to change the minds of other doctors. I'm making it my mission to help you all to get well. And then as you all demand more doctors like me, more people will hopefully become interested in it, or when they hear your success stories. I personally haven't had any issues with any of the regular conventional medical community, thankfully. Many of the patients that I see are very sick, and their regular physicians are kind of at a loss as to what to do. So they're very thankful most of the time. I've really got, other than one physician, I've really gotten nothing but really positive feedback. They're really happy that I'm helping you guys. So that's awesome. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? Sorry, I am talking extra fast, more than usual. I know I always talk fast, but I really am trying to just get in some of these questions so I can finish up my packing and hop on a plane. Okay, so from Tina Walker, what do you think of bioidentical hormones for women? Well, that's a complex issue. My first question is, why does somebody need hormones? Are you a 23-year-old girl who is, you know, over-exercising and underweight and you don't have a period? Are you someone who's burned out your adrenals? Are you a 43-year-old woman who's perimenopausal and experiencing those symptoms? Or are you, you know, someone who had a hysterectomy or really is, you know, 57 in menopause? The first thing I do with everyone is to fix the gut and change the diet. Frequently, if you are one of the first scenarios, first couple of scenarios that I mentioned, periods come back, irregular periods get normalized. People who are in perimenopausal, those symptoms go away. Even people who are beginning to go into menopause, diet and the gut really influence all of this. So I still start there. For those people who had a hysterectomy, are genuinely in menopause, yes, if you're going to do hormones, I do recommend you do bioidentical hormones, and I do that. I do have a great video on both my blog as well as YouTube, and the station is Amy Myers MD, that talks about a test that I do for all women if I'm going to put them on bioidentical hormones that sort of checks for one of their risk factors for cancer. So definitely check out that video and you'll see the tests that I do. Okay, from Onita Oles, how do I know that my gut is repaired? Well, I typically go on symptoms with patients. Some of this testing can get very expensive, and if you want to be scientific, there are tests. We can repeat stool test and observe that the candida or the parasite or whatever was wrong is better, that the good bacteria are now at a good level. You now have your enzymes. But most people really come in with an issue, and we follow your symptoms. The gas and bloating is gone. The constipation is gone. Your period has come back. Your acne has cleared. Your brain fog is gone. I mean, just whatever the symptoms are, those are generally what we go by. There is a test called a zonulin test that genuinely checks for leaky gut. That rises when your gut is leaky. There's also a mannitol challenge test. I don't use that. So you could do these tests to ensure that it's healed, but I usually just go with people's symptoms. You know your body. So you should be able to, together we can figure that out with symptoms. Okay. Stephanie Pangio. And forgive me if I'm not pronouncing anyone's name right. It's definitely not my forte. Okay. What everyday supplements do you recommend everyone should be taking, including teens? I believe that everyone needs a probiotic, a multivitamin, some fish oils, and typically some vitamin D, but you do want to get those levels checked before you just start supplementing. You could probably give yourself up to a 1,000 units a day, but if you're doing things like what I do in my clinic, 5,000, you definitely would want to make sure that a physician is tracking that for you. Vitamin D is fat soluble and can be toxic. So we have a package on my website that has, I think, like a kid's wellness package and an adult wellness package, and you'll see in there those are the things that I recommend. I don't believe in our world today we can get everything from our food. We live in a stressful, toxic world. Our food is depleted. I do think a really top quality multivitamin with all the pre-methylated B vitamins in it, as I talk about frequently, a really good probiotic. Y'all all know how I feel about the gut and the gut health and how important that is. Usually 25 to 50 billion units a day or more for some people, and then the omega-3 fish oils for anti-inflammatory. Okay, I got this question twice from Jennifer Robbins. I appreciate this. Does my one cup of organic coffee per day prevent my leaky gut from healing? Sugar-free, organic, dairy, grain-free, low-carb, paleo, otherwise? Guys, we want you to live life and enjoy life. This isn't all about restriction. When we go through the initial Myers Way program, the comprehensive elimination diet, we get you off all this stuff so that we know what your body is capable of. We don't want people to be drinking 3 cups of coffee and say they have endless energy. When you take away that coffee, do they still have endless energy? When you take away that sugar, do they still have boundless energy? Do they take away that alcohol, in order to, calm them down at night? So we get you off this stuff just so we can have a plain, even playing field. After that, things in moderation. If you do fine with coffee, having a cup a day or a cup a week or whatever is perfectly fine. If you can tolerate that, you don't want me. I mean, look at how fast I'm talking without caffeine. You don't want to see me with caffeine. So if you can tolerate caffeine a cup a day or cup every, couple of days or once a week, that's fine. Do I not ever have any sugar? Do I not ever have any alcohol? No, I do. It's rare, but I do have those things. So, we're not trying to ruin your life here. We're just trying to get you to a plain, even playing field so we know what we're dealing with. And then from there, you can see how the sugar and the alcohol and the caffeine affect you. Okay. So let's see what else we have. From Aisha Roten, should kids be on a daily probiotic? Yes. Rachel Ravez, do you eat corn chips, organic, non-GMO, or should I stop feeding them to my girls? Again, corn chips, I generally don't eat them. I used to eat them. Oh my gosh, they were one of my favorite things, a beer, corn chips, and some salsa. Love it, but not anymore. So do I ever eat them? Can I tell you that I don't ever eat them? Yes, I've eaten some organic corn chips probably a couple of times throughout this year at the most. Again, you just got to figure out what's going on with your kid. It's not if they tolerate corn, fine, go for it. You don't want it to be a daily occurrence, but if they can tolerate organic non-GMO corn and they're not having any issues, I don't see a problem with that, again, on, you know, in moderation. All right. Let's see what else we have. Donna Gossin, what treatment would you recommend to prevent dementia and Alzheimer's? I'm going to give a shout out here to Dr. David Perlmutter, one of my colleagues, who's coming out with a book this month, Grain Brain. That is exactly what his book is about. It is really kind of basically a paleo diet, low carb. That is one of the best ways, I mean, well, frankly, to prevent all disease, in my opinion, and his as well. His is really, really low carb. I don't know that I could do that, but, you know, I guess if I was having one of those diagnoses or family members with that, you know, you just got to figure out if that's something you want to, the extremes you want to go to, but I would definitely check out his book, Grain Brain. All right, from my buddy Karen Arter, I want to do an elimination diet, but I'm worried I won't be able to stick to it. How can I help ensure the success of following through with this, and how long will it take? Karen, I'm excited that you're even here. I know Karen back from my days in New Orleans, and that you're even, you know, asking these questions. They are tough. That's why I get a lot of people in my office. They've read books and they've tried to do it on their own. It can be daunting. We are here to support you. We have the Myers Way Facebook community, you know, hundreds of people there going through the same thing, offering virtual support. We have my nutritionists who do wellness coaching for anybody anywhere in the world. You can sign up with them. You can get that through my store, and they can help guide you just like you would. I mean, they can't offer, you know, specific medical advice, but they can guide you and offer you support as they do my patients that come and see me. So that those are things one step at a time. If you don't think you can tackle the whole bear, I always suggest to people at least get off gluten or gluten and dairy. Those are typically the two biggies that you see the most bang for your buck. So if this all is too overwhelming for you, we have people dial it back a notch, and we have you just start with gluten and dairy. So that's where I would start. Typically, we have you take the foods out for 2 to 3 weeks and then add them back in. If you're going to do just gluten and dairy, I would do a full 30 days with those. Okay, Erin Shalala, what are your thoughts on the blood type diet? Is it important to eat certain diets based on your blood type? This is a really fascinating question. When I first read about this, I thought it was kind of nuts. I was a vegetarian, and I'm an O, and it told me to eat meat, and I thought there's no way in the world I can do this. I cannot speak to the whole book. Dr. D'Amato is a very, very bright guy, but I can tell you for the O blood types, I do definitely see a correlation. Whether it's anecdotally or not, these people who end up in my office with autoimmune, fibromyalgia, all kinds of stuff, they typically are O blood types. And, you know, we are the oldest lineage. We do not do well with gluten, particularly how it's been hybridized. And I find that we don't do well with all grains and legumes. Apparently, also, we don't do well with coconut and avocado. And on every test I've done, I do test for those that I don't do well with those. So I can tell you personally, there is something to it. As you know from my story, I now eat basically a paleo type diet, and things have really changed for me. I cannot speak to the other diets. And I will say one thing about the book, that he does still advocate, even with the O's, some certain grains and dairy. And I definitely don't recommend either one of those. If you're going to be an O and you got some serious problems, I would definitely give, you know, paleo, or my book will be coming out soon, which is going to be, you know, an autoimmune protocol for people. So, or you can purchase our ebook that has our autoimmune protocol in there as well. Okay. Vicki Abels, How do you handle having both diabetes and gluten intolerance without messing one of them up worse? I'm not fully understanding the question. If you have diabetes, gluten is not your friend. Get off of it now. So going gluten-free is not going to mess with your diabetes. In fact, it's going to help your diabetes. Unless, of course, you are eating a bunch of gluten-free crap. That could potentially make it worse because that is more refined than the gluten-filled crap. So I would get on a, you know, paleo-esque diet, low-carb, full of protein and healthy fats, and be gluten-free, and your diabetes should, I don't know if you have type 1 or type 2, but I've not gotten a type 1 off insulin, but I've definitely gotten type 2s off of insulin and at least back down insulin on a lot of people. And you may have candida as well. Most diabetics do. Okay, let's see what else we got. So Sherry Conway, you're one of my biggest fans out there. I appreciate all your posts. Why is it so hard to find help on mold exposure? Why are there debates about is gluten sensitivity a real disease that exists or a real issue? BMJ, the British Medical Journal, is writing that it is. And then the next week, Scientific America has some, you know, stupid doctor that is saying that it's not. So, yes, Richie Shoemaker is the guy who is now, I believe, retired, but I do see this day in and day out, particularly with people with autoimmune and very unexplained illnesses. I don't know, you know, it's just an awareness thing. Most people don't believe it's a problem. I didn't really feel that it was a problem until I personally had an issue with it. Now I see it in all kinds of people and I see issues resolve. So I'm sorry I can't answer that question, but we are here to help you. And I'm definitely going to be talking a lot more about that in my book because I've helped so many people with autoimmune regarding mold. Okay, let's see. I'm going to try to wrap this up at 30 minutes. So however many more I can get in. And we'll keep doing this, guys, if you like it. Okay, I thought I'd feel more funny talking to myself in my living room here, but I'm feeling like I'm talking to each and every one of you all. All right, how do you recommend treating PCOS naturally through diet? I would get on, again, you know, the Myers way. I would just basically do the autoimmune protocol for the Myers way or a candida protocol of the Myers way. And diet is huge in that. I mean, guys, fixing the gut and diet fixes a lot of stuff. I've had great success with PCOS. So you can, you know, find a functional medicine doctor in your area. You can come see me. You can do our Myers Way ebook that we have online, and soon you'll have a Myers Way both e-course for the Myers Way elimination diet as well as one for healing the gut. So if you haven't found somebody by the end of the year, we hope to have those resources for you. Okay, Sheila Cook, how to stop eating sugar? Well, you know, that's a complex one. I find that when you just stop, you can either work your way down or stop. When you stop the sugar, the cravings stop. If you're having issues doing that, and again, we offer you some advice in the Myers Way ebook of how to cut down on caffeine, and how to cut down on sugar, so you can follow those. But it is difficult, and there could be a couple of things driving it. One, emotional issues surrounding food, unmet needs. I believe most all of us, if not every one of us, has some emotional aspect to eating. And then the other is you may have candida that is, you know, driving your need for sugar because it's wanting to be fed if you've been eating a lot of sugar, you know, for a while. All right. Marcia Beckford, if I was advised to stay away from milk, does peach kefir count as milk? I was advised to eat gluten-free. Does oat milk count as gluten? Two questions, apologies. No problem. These are great questions because they're probably two of the, you know, biggest ones out there that people have confusion around or get mixed messages or are unsure about. As you guys know from following me, I'm fairly black and white. So let's go here. If the kefir is made from milk, if you have a casein or a whey issue, those proteins do not go away when you make it into a kefir. What happens when you make it into a kefir is you've added in the fermentation and the probiotics. So that may be good for your gut, but if you have a sensitivity and if whey or casein are causing inflammation for you or causing any other illness for you, you do not want to be eating peach kefir. The probiotic content and the fermented content do not outweigh the fact that they have whey and casein in it. Go get some probiotics, or somebody on this thread or another thread mentioned a water kefir. I'm kind of interested in that one. So, okay. And then advice to eat gluten-free, does oatmeal count? This is the biggest place where I see people go wrong with gluten-free. So to answer the question, oats do not inherently contain gluten. Through the processing of oats, many, many are cross-contaminated. So you do not want to eat oats. If you go get certified gluten-free oats, they still can have some gluten in it, 20 parts per million, and still be called gluten-free. But wheat and oats came from the same grandfather grain, and their proteins are very similar. I see many, many, many people with gluten issues that cannot even tolerate the gluten-free oats. I cannot tolerate them. I had 3 patients in 1 week, you know, be doing great, coming back to see me because they had sort of, you know, gotten tired of eating the same old, and added back in oats, and all 3 were having big issues. So again, you can test that one on yourself, but because the proteins are so similar, it's the number one, besides dairy, cross-reactive food that I see with gluten. Okay. Kara Dawson, I will be traveling abroad soon, Europe, East Asia, Middle East. The travel guides are recommending vaccinations. What are your tips to stay healthy and maintain gluten-free? Well, vaccinations are an individualized thing. I know my MTHFR status, and I would go get that checked. It's a genetic test that you can do. I have several mutations. I do not detoxify well, particularly mercury. I got vaccinations every Wednesday for 3 months in the Peace Corps. I believe that that contributed to my 2 years later getting an autoimmune disease. So I am going to India in a few short hours here, and I did not renew any of my vaccinations. Again, I'm not giving you any personal medical advice. I'm just sharing with you my thoughts. So that is what I would consider. Obviously, you have to consider what, you know, I've also been vaccinated for most everything already. So you got to consider risk-benefit in any situation like that. Staying healthy, don't drink the water. And as you see from my photos that I posted last night of my suitcase, and I'll be writing a blog on it because many people have asked, you know, about staying healthy and gluten-free and things like that. I personally am bringing a suitcase of food in case I am caught in a bind. It's hard enough for me to, you know, be caught somewhere on the road in the United States with nothing to eat. I can only imagine me in rural India. So, you just got to take general precautions of, you know, hand sanitizers and not drinking the water and only eating really cooked food. Just using your intuition with these things and pack food if you can. I don't know how long you're going for, but you can pack food to go. And I will certainly be keeping you guys updated. I wrote myself a note saying that I have, you know, medical conditions and need to do this, but you can't really get the full grasp from my photos there. But literally, it's 2 pairs of pants, a pair of shoes, 4 shirts, a couple pairs of underwear, and then the rest is supplements, medications in case I do get sick, or medications to prevent illness like malaria, and then food, so, and supplements, you know, all my supplements to keep me healthy. So that's kind of how I chose to do it. I'd rather go less on the clothes and have more on the stuff that I need. And I'll definitely be writing some blogs and keep you guys posted as to how everything went. So here we go for Liam Morgan. Dr. Myers, I have heard you say before that the gut is not something that is really addressed in medical school. I found this intriguing. Can you please elaborate on this? Why do doctors come out of medical school with little training on the gut? Well, I mean, I definitely, you know, the research is now really, really coming out to the forefront about how important the gut is and the biome. I don't think when I was in medical school, we really even knew this. But medical school is behind the times. A lot of people really can't believe that people come out, and this is the honest truth, that we learn each organ system separately, and then nobody ever really puts it together for you. So it's, you know, the digestive system in a couple of days on that, and then it's the endocrine system, and then it's the brain, and then it's the cardiovascular system. And then nobody says, and how are all these systems interrelated and working together? There's compartmentalized, which is why we have compartmentalized medicine. When you're sick, you go to a GI doctor for your GI illness. When you have asthma, you go to the asthma specialist. When you have a cardiac issue, you go to the heart specialist. So, you know, that's how they're training doctors, and it's not a good thing for sure. I went into medical school with the idea that I knew things were interconnected. So medical school was difficult for me in that way, but then functional medicine was very easy because it just confirmed my thoughts and whatnot. Okay, and so our last question, the last question that I'm going to do here is. Actually, I'm going to do three more questions. So the last question is, the best source of folate, not folinic acid, how do I know the difference on the label? It will say 5-methotetrafolate on it. That is what you want to get. The methyl tetrahydrofolate is what you want to get. So that's what it should say. Down at the bottom, if it says folic acid, then you know it's synthetic. If it says folate, then you can look down and see the source of the folate. All right. Nutritionally, what's the here, Max Harvey? Nutritionally, what is the first thing you usually ingest after waking in the morning? The first thing I do is roll over and drink a huge glass of water and take my thyroid medicine, and then I usually brush my teeth, wander in the kitchen, drink some more water, and take down some supplements, and then figure out, you know, is it a smoothie morning, a juice morning, or a, you know, sort of regular breakfast morning? So that's my day pretty much every day. And then somebody asked, and hopefully I'll keep from crying here again, but how am I? I'm great. I feel so blessed to have all of you so much. You know, I am so thankful for all of you and your support. And I am definitely clearly emotional and nervous about going to India. I have not traveled since I have been doing functional medicine and healed myself and healed my gut and gone gluten-free and dairy-free and all that kind of stuff. So it's both excitement that I have and nerves. And I just want to appreciate each and every one of you all for spreading the message, for following me, for, you know, passing these podcasts along to people who, you know, are on the fence and don't know about functional medicine and want to get help. I mean, it really is my mission to help as many of you as possible, which is why I am writing a book to try to reach more people. And I just want you guys to know, because of that, I think I mentioned it, these podcasts are going to go to every other week. And it has nothing to do with my not wanting to get the word out. I'm just going to be getting it out, hopefully in a even bigger and better way through a book. So again, I appreciate your support. Please post your comments either on my blog or on Facebook, just about this podcast, how you like the podcast in general, if you like it, you know, people interviewing me interviewing people, or answering questions. And my guess is you'll like all of them, and I'll try to continue to do each and every one of them. So bless you all. Thank you very much. And please keep me in your prayers over the next 2 weeks. Thanks.
To stay in touch with Dr. Myers, you can sign up for her newsletter on her website at dramyers.com, or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at Amy Myers, MD.